Temis's temple, Aelin admitted, glancing to Manon. The moment the arrow went through his shoulder. Months ago.
And you've hidden it from him, no doubt to save him from any guilt regarding Lyria. Any sort of emotional distress. Maeve clicked her tongue. What a noble little liar you are.
Aelin stared at nothing, her eyes going blank.
I had planned for him to be here, Maeve said, frowning at the horizon. Since letting you two go that day in Doranel was so that you could lead me to the keys again. I even let you think you'd gotten away with it, by freeing him. You had no idea that I unleashed you. But if he's not here, I'll have to make do.
Aelin stiffened. Fenris snarled in warning. Maeve shrugged.
If it's any consolation, Aelin, you would have had 1,000 years with Prince Rowan.
Longer. The world slowed, and Aelin could hear her own blood roaring in her ears, as Maeve said,
My sister Mab's line ran true. The full powers, shifting abilities, and the immortality of the Fae. You're likely about 5 years away from settling.
Aelin's face crumpled. This was not a draining of magic and physical strength, but of spirit.
Perhaps we'll celebrate your settling together, Maeve mused, since I certainly have no plans to waste you on that lock. To waste the keys, when they are meant to be wielded, Aelin.
Maeve, please,
Fenris breathed. Maeve examined her immaculate nails.
What I find to be truly amusing is that it seems I didn't even need you to be Rowan's mate. Or really need to break him at all. A fascinating experiment in my own powers, if anything. But since I doubt you'll still go willingly, not at least without trying to die on me first, I'll let you have a choice.
Aelin seemed to be bracing herself, as Maeve lifted a hand and said,
Cairn?
The males went rigid. Lorcan turned near feral behind Aelin, subtly trying to drag her back, to work around the order he'd been given. A handsome brown-haired warrior walked toward them from the cluster of escorts. Handsome, if it weren't for the sadistic cruelty singing in his blue eyes. If it wasn't for the blades at his sides, the whip curled along one hip, the sneering smile. She'd seen that smile before, on Vernon's face, on so many faces at Morath.
Allow me to introduce the newest member of my cadre, as you like to call them. Cairn, meet Aelin Galathinius.
Cairn stepped up to his queen's side, and the look the male gave Aelin's queen made her stomach turn over.
Sadist.
Yes, that was the word for him, without him even saying one himself.
Cairn, Maeve said, is trained in abilities that you have in common. Of course, you only had a few years to learn the art of torment. But perhaps Cairn can teach you some of the things he's learned in his centuries of practicing.
Fenris was pale with rage.
Maeve, I beg you.
Darkness slammed into Fenris, shoving him to his knees, forcing his head to the dirt.
That is enough,
Maeve hissed. Maeve was smiling again when she turned back to Aelin.
I said you have a choice, and you do. Either you come willingly with me and get acquainted with Cairn, or...
Those eyes slid to Lorcan, to Aelin. And Aelin's heart stopped as Maeve said,
Or I still take you and bring Aelin Lorcan with us.
I'm certain she and Cairn will get along wonderfully.
Chapter 72. Aelin's body hurt. Everything hurt. Her blood, her breath, her bones. There was no magic left. Nothing left to save her.
No,
Lorcan said softly. Just turning her head sparked agony down her spine. But Aelin looked at Eileed, at Lorcan forced to hold her, his face white with pure terror, as he glanced between Cairn and Maeve and Eileed. Manon was doing the same, sizing up the odds, how fast she'd have to be to clear the area. Good. Good. Manon would get Eileed out. The witch had been waiting for Aelin to make a move, not realizing that she had nothing left. There was no power left for a final strike. And that dark power was still coiled around her bones, so tightly that one move of aggression, one move, and her bones would snap. Maeve said to Lorcan,
No to what, Lorcan? Eileed Lorcan being taken with us if Aelin decides to put up a fight, or my generous offer to leave Eileed be if Her Majesty comes willingly.
One look at the brown-haired Fey warrior, Cairn, standing at Maeve's side, and Aelin had known what he was. She'd killed enough of them over the years. She'd spent time with Rourke Farron. What he'd do to Eileed. Lorcan also knew what a male like Cairn would do to a young woman, and if he was sanctioned by Maeve herself. Lorcan said,
She is innocent. Take the queen and let us go.
Manon even snapped at Maeve. She belongs to the Iron Teeth. If you have no quarrel with me, then you have no quarrel with her. Leave Eileed Lorcan out of it. Maeve ignored Manon and drawled to Lorcan,
I command you to stand down. I command you to watch and do nothing. I command you to not move or speak until I say so. The order applies to you as well, Fenris.
And Lorcan obeyed. So did Fenris. Their bodies simply stiffened, and then nothing. Eileed twisted to beg Lorcan.
You can stop this. You can fight it.
Lorcan didn't even look at her. Aelin knew Eileed would fight, would not understand that Maeve had been playing this game for centuries, and had waited until this moment, until the trap was perfect, to seize her. Aelin found Maeve smiling at her. She had played, and gambled, and lost. Maeve nodded as if to say yes. The unspoken question danced in Aelin's eyes, as Eileed screamed at Lorcan, at Manon, to help. But the witch knew her orders, her task. Maeve read the question in Aelin's face and said,
I will bear the keys in one hand, an Aelin Firebringer in the other.
She'd have to break her first. Kill her or break... Cairn grinned. The escorts were now hauling something up the beach, from the longboat they'd rowed over from their awaiting ship. Already the dark sails were unfurling. Eileed faced Maeve, who did not deign to glance her way.
Please, please!
Aelin simply nodded at the Fey Queen. Her acceptance and surrender. Maeve bowed her head, triumph dancing on her red lips.
Lorcan, release her.
The warrior's hands slackened at his sides. And because she had won, Maeve even loosened her power's grip on Aelin's bones, allowed Aelin to turn to Eileed and say,
Go with Manon. She will take care of you.
Elite began crying, shoving away from Lorkin.
I'll go with you. I'll come with you.
The girl would. The girl would face Cairn and Maeve. But Terrison would need that sort of courage. If it was to survive, if it was to heal, Terrison would need Elite Lorkin.
Tell the others,
Aelin breathed, trying to find the right words.
Tell the others that I am sorry. Tell Lysandra to remember her promise, and that I will never stop being grateful. Tell Adian. Tell him it is not his fault, and that...
Her voice cracked.
I wish he'd been able to take the oath. But Terrison will look to him now, and the lines must not break.
Elide nodded, tears sliding down her blood-splattered face.
And tell Rowan.
Aelin's soul splintered as she saw the iron box the escorts now carried between them. An ancient iron coffin, big enough for one person, crafted for her.
And tell Rowan,
Aelin said, fighting her own sob,
that I'm sorry I lied. But tell him it was all borrowed time anyway. Even before today, I knew it was all just borrowed time. But I still wish we'd had more of it.
She fought past her trembling mouth.
Tell him he has to fight. He must save Terrison. And remember the vows he made to me. And tell him thank you for walking that dark path with me. Back to the light.
They opened the lid of the box, pulling out long, heavy chains within. One of the escorts handed Maeve an ornate iron mask. She examined it in her hands. The mask, the chains, the box. They had been crafted long before now. Centuries ago. Forged to contain and break Mala's scion. Aelin glanced at Lorkin, whose dark eyes were fixed on her own. And gratitude shone there, for sparing the young woman he'd given his heart to, whether he knew it or not. Elide begged Maeve one last time.
Don't do this.
Aelin knew it would do her no good. So she said to Elide,
I'm glad we met. I'm proud to know you. And I think your mother would have been proud of you too, Elide.
Maeve lowered the mask and drawled to Aelin, Rumor claims you will bow to no one, heir of fire. That serpentine smile. Well... Now you will bow to me. She pointed to the sand. Aelin obeyed. Her knees barked as she dropped to the ground. Lower. Aelin slid her body until her brow was in the sand. She did not let herself feel it, let her soul feel it. Good. Elide was sobbing, wordlessly begging, Take off your shirt. Aelin hesitated, realizing where this was going. Why Cairn's belt carried a whip. Take off your shirt. Aelin tugged her shirt out of her pants and slung it over her head, tossing it in the sand beside her. Then she removed the flexible cloth around her breasts.
Varric, Hiran.
Two fey males came forward. Aelin didn't fight, as they each gripped her by an arm and hauled her up, spread her arms wide. The sea air kissed her breasts, her navel.
10 lashes, Cairn. Let Her Majesty have a taste of what to expect when we reach our destination, if she does not cooperate.
It would be my pleasure, lady.
Aelin held Cairn's vicious gaze, willing ice into her veins as he thumbed free his whip. As he raked his eyes over her body and smiled, a canvas for him to paint with blood and pain. Maeve said, the mask dangling from her fingers.
Why don't you count for us, Aelin?
Aelin kept her mouth shut.
Count, or we'll begin again with each stroke you miss. You decide how long this goes on for. Unless you'd rather Elide Lochan receive these strokes.
No. Never. Never anyone else but her. Never.
But as Cairn walked slowly, savoring each step, as he let that whip drag along the ground, her body betrayed her, began shaking. She knew the pain, knew what it'd feel like, what it'd sound like. Her dreams were still full of it. No doubt why Maeve had picked a whipping, why she'd done it to Rowan and Doranell. Cairn halted. She felt him studying the tattoo on her back. Rowan's loving words written there in the old language. Cairn snorted. Then she felt him revel in how he'd destroy that tattoo.
Begin, Maeve said.
Cairn's breath sucked in. And even bracing herself, even clamping down hard, there was nothing to prepare for the crack, the sting, the pain. She did not let herself cry out, only hissed through her teeth. A whip wielded by an overseer at Endovir was one thing. One wielded by a full-blooded fey male. Blood slid down the back of her pants, her split skin screaming. But she knew how to pace herself, how to yield to the pain, how to take it.
What number was that, Aelin?
She would not. She would never count for that rutting bitch.
Start over, Cairn, Maeve said.
A breathy laugh. Then the crack and the pain, and Aelin arched, the tendons in her neck near snapping as she panted through clenched teeth. The males holding her gripped her firm enough to bruise. Maeve and Cairn waited. Aelin refused to say the word, to start the count. She'd die before she did it.
Oh gods,
Elide sobbed.
Start over,
Maeve merely ordered over the girl. So Cairn did. Again. 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 They started over 9 times before Aelin finally screamed. The blow had been right atop one another, tearing skin down to the bone. Again. 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 Cairn was panting. Aelin refused to speak.
Start over, Maeve repeated.
Majesty, murmured one of the males holding her. It might be prudent to postpone until later.
There's still plenty of skin, Cairn snapped. But the male said,
Others are approaching. Still far off, but approaching.
Rowan. Aelin whimpered then. Time. She had needed time. Maeve made a small noise of distaste.
We'll continue later. Get her ready.
Aelin could barely lift her head as the males heaved her up. The movement set her body roaring in such pain that darkness swarmed in. But she fought it. Gritted her teeth and silently roared back at that agony, that darkness. A few feet away, Elide slid to her knees as if she'd beg until her body gave out. but Manon caught her.
We're going now,
Manon said, tugging her away. Inland.
No!
Elide spat, thrashing. Lorkin's eyes widened, but with Maeve's command he couldn't move. Couldn't do anything as Manon slammed the hilt of Windcleaver into the side of Elide's head. The girl dropped like a stone. That was all Manon needed to haul her over a shoulder and say to Maeve, good luck. Her eyes slid to Aelin's once. Only once. Then she looked away. Maeve ignored the witch as Manon prowled toward the heart of the marshes. Lorkin's body strained. Strained, like he was fighting that blood oath with everything in him. Aelin didn't care. The males half-dragged her toward Maeve, toward the iron box, and the chains, and the iron mask. Whorls of fire, little suns, and embers had been shaped into its dark surface, a mockery of the power it was to contain. The power Maeve had needed to ensure was fully drained before she locked her up. The only way she could ever lock her up. Every inch her feet dragged through the sand was a lifetime. Every inch was a heartbeat. Blood soaked her pants. She likely wouldn't be able to heal her wounds within all that iron. Not until Maeve decided to heal them herself. But Maeve wouldn't let her die. Not with the word keys in the balance. Not yet. Time. She was grateful Elena had given her that stolen time. Grateful she had met them all, that she had seen some small part of the world, had heard such lovely music, had danced and laughed and known true friendship. Grateful that she had found Rowan. She was grateful. So Aelin Galathinius dried her tears and did not fight when Maeve strapped that beautiful iron mask over her face. Chapter 73. Manon kept walking. She didn't dare look back. Didn't dare give that ancient, cold-eyed queen one hint that Aelin did not possess the word keys. That Aelin had slipped them both into Manon's pocket when she'd nudged her. Elide would hate her for it. Already did hate her for it. Let that be the cost. One look from Aelin and she'd known what she had to do. Get the keys away from Maeve. Get Elide away. They had forged an iron box to contain the Queen of Terrasen. Elide stirred, at last coming to, just as they were nearly out of hearing range. She began thrashing, and Manon dumped her behind a dune, gripping the back of her neck so tightly Elide stilled at the iron nails piercing her skin. Silence, Manon hissed, and Elide obeyed. Keeping low, they peered through the grasses. Only a moment. She could spare only a moment to watch, to glean where Maeve was taking the Queen of Terrasen. Lorkin remained frozen as Maeve had commanded. Gavriel was barely conscious, panting in the grass, as if ripping that blood oath from him had been as grave as any physical wound. Fenris. Fenris's eyes were alive with hatred as he watched Maeve and Cairn. Blood coated Cairn's whip, still dangling at his side as Maeve's soldiers finished strapping that mask over Aelin's face. Then they clamped irons around her wrists, ankles, neck. No one healed her ravaged back, barely more than a bloody slab of meat, as they guided her into the iron box. Made her lie upon her wounds. And then slid the lid into place. Locked it. Elide vomited in the grass. Manon put a hand on the girl's back. as the males began carrying the box down to the dunes, to the boat and the ship beyond.
"Fenris, go," Maeve ordered, pointing to the ship.
Breathing raggedly, but unable to refuse the order, Fenris followed. He glanced once at the white shirt discarded in the sand. It was splattered with blood, spray from the whipping. Then he was gone, stepping through air and wind and into nothing. Alone with Lorcan, Maeve said to the warrior,
"You have done all this for me."
He did not move. Maeve said,
"Speak."
Lorcan loosed a shuddering breath and said,
"Yes. Yes, it was all for you. All of it."
Elide gripped the seagrass in fistfuls, and Manon half wondered if she'd grow iron nails and shred it apart at the fury in her face. The hate. Maeve stepped over Aelin's blood-splattered shirt and brushed her hand over Lorcan's cheek.
"I have no use," she crooned, "for self-righteous males who think they know best."
He stiffened.
"Majesty."
"I strip you of the blood oath. I strip you of your assets and your titles and your properties. You, like Gavriel, are released with dishonor and shame. You are exiled from Dorinel for your disobedience, your treachery. Should you step foot inside my borders, you will die."
"Majesty, I beg you..."
"Go beg someone else. I have no use for a warrior I cannot trust. I rescind my kill order. Letting you live with the shame will be far worse for you, I think."
Blood welled at his wrists, then hers, spilling on the ground. Lorcan fell to his knees.
"I do not suffer fools gladly," Maeve said, leaving him in the sand,
and walked away. As if she'd dealt him a blow, the twin to Gavriel's, Lorcan couldn't seem to move, to think, or breathe. He tried crawling, though, toward Maeve. The bastard tried crawling.
"We need to go,"
Manon murmured. The moment Maeve checked to see where those keys were, they had to go. A roar grumbled on the horizon. Abraxos. Her heart thundered in her chest, joy sparking, but... Elide remained in the grass, watching Lorcan crawl toward the queen now striding across the beach, black gown flowing behind her. Watching the boat row to the awaiting ship, that iron coffin in its center, Maeve sitting beside it, one hand on the lid. For her sanity, Manon prayed that Aelin wouldn't be awake the entire time she was inside. And for the sake of their world, Manon prayed the Queen of Terrasen could survive it. If only so Aelin could then die for them all. Chapter 74. There was so much blood. It had spread to where Lorcan was kneeling, gleaming bright as it soaked into the sand. It covered her shirt, discarded and forgotten beside him. It even speckled the scabbards of her swords and knives, littered around him like bones. What Maeve had done. What Aelin had done. There was a hole in his chest, and there was so much blood. Wings and roaring, and he still couldn't look up, couldn't bring himself to care. Elide's voice cut across the world, saying to someone,
the ship just vanished. She left without realizing we have the...
Whoops of joy, female cries of happiness, thunderous swift steps. then a hand gripping his hair, yanking back his head as a dagger settled along his throat. As Rowan's face, calm with lethal wrath, appeared in his vision.
Where is Aelin?
There was pure panic, too. Pure panic as Whitethorn saw the blood, the scattered blades, and the shirt.
Where is Aelin?
What had he done? What had he done? Pain sliced Lorcan's neck. Warm blood dribbled down his throat. His chest. Rowan hissed.
Where is my wife?
Lorcan swayed where he knelt. Wife. Wife.
Oh, gods.
Elide sobbed as she overheard, the words carrying the sound of Lorcan's own fractured heart.
Oh, gods.
And for the first time in centuries, Lorcan wept. Rowan dug the dagger deeper into Lorcan's neck, even as tears slid down Lorcan's face. What that woman had done. Aelin had known that Lorcan had betrayed her and summoned Maeve here, that she had been living on borrowed time, and she had married Whitethorn so Terrasen could have a king. Perhaps had been spurred into action because she knew Lorcan had already betrayed her, that Maeve was coming, and Lorcan had not helped her. Whitethorn's wife. His mate. Aelin had let them whip and chain her, had gone willingly with Maeve, so Elide didn't enter Cairn's clutches, and it had been just as much a sacrifice for Elide as it had been a gift to him. She had bowed to Maeve for Elide.
Please,
Rowan begged, his voice breaking as that calm fury fractured. Maeve took her, Manon said, approaching. Gavriel rasped from where he knelt nearby, reeling from the severing of his blood oath.
She used the oath to keep us down. Keep us from helping. Even Lorcan.
Rowan still didn't remove the knife from Lorcan's throat. Lorcan had been wrong. He had been so wrong. And he could not entirely regret it. Not if Elide was safe, but... Aelin had refused to count. Cairn had unleashed his full strength on her with that whip, and she had refused to give them the satisfaction of counting.
"Where is the ship?"
Adian demanded, then swore at the bloody shirt nearby. He grabbed Goldrin, frantically wiping the blood specks off the scabbard with his jacket.
"It vanished," Elide said again. "It just vanished."
Whitethorn stared down at him, agony and despair in those eyes. And Lorcan whispered,
"I'm sorry."
Rowan dropped the knife, released the fist gripping Lorcan's hair, staggered back a step. In the grass nearby, Dorian knelt beside Gavriel, a faint light glowing around them, healing the wounds in his arms. There was nothing to be done for the soul wound Maeve had dealt him. Dealt Lorcan as well, in severing that oath with such dishonor. Manon came closer, her witches now flanking her. They all sniffed at the blood. A golden-haired one swore softly. Manon told them about the lock, about Elena, about the cost the gods demanded of her, demanded of Aelin. But it was Elide who then took up the thread, leaning against Lysandra, who was staring at that blood and that shirt as if it were a corpse, telling them what had happened on these dunes, what Aelin had sacrificed. She told Rowan that he was Aelin's mate, told him about Lyria. She told them about the whipping, and the mask, and the box. When Elide finished, they were silent. and Lorcan only watched as Adian turned to Lysandra and snarled.
You knew.
Lysandra did not flinch.
She asked me, that day on the boat, to help her. She told me the suspected price to banish Erewhon and restore the keys. What I needed to do.
Adian snarled.
What could you possibly...
Lysandra lifted her chin. Rowan breathed.
Aelin would die to forge the new lock, to seal the keys into the gate, to banish Erewhon. But no one would know. No one but us. Not while you wore her skin for the rest of your life.
Adian dragged a hand through his blood-caked hair.
But any offspring with Rowan wouldn't look anything like...
Lysandra's face was pleading.
You would fix that, Adian. With me.
With the golden hair, the Ash River eyes. If that line bred true, the Shifter's offspring could pass as royal. Aelin wanted Rowan on the throne, but it would be Adian secretly siring the heirs. Adian flinched as if he'd been struck.
And when were you going to reveal this? Before or after I thought I was taking my god's damned cousin to bed, for whatever reason you concocted?
Lysandra said softly,
I will not apologize to you. I serve her, and I am willing to spend the rest of my life pretending to be her, so that her sacrifice isn't in vain.
You can go to hell, Adian snapped. You can go to hell, you lying bitch!
Lysandra's answering snarl wasn't human. Rowan just took Goldrin from the general and walked toward the sea, the wind tossing his silver hair. Lorcan rose to his feet, swaying again. But Elide was there. And there was nothing of the young woman he'd come to know in her pale, taut face. Nothing of her in the raw voice, as Elide said to Lorcan,
I hope you spend the rest of your miserable, immortal life suffering. I hope you spend it alone. I hope you live with regret and guilt in your heart, and never find a way to endure it.
Then she was heading for the 13. The golden-haired one held up an arm, and Elide slipped beneath it, entering a sanctuary of wings and claws and teeth. Lysandra stormed to tend to Gavriel, who had the good sense not to flinch at her still-snarling face. And Lorcan looked to Adian to find the young general already watching him. Hatred shone in Adian's eyes. Pure hatred.
Even before you got the order to stand down, you did nothing to help her. You summoned Maeve here. I will never forget that.
Then he was striding for the beach, to where Rowan knelt in the sand. Asterin was alive. The 13 were alive. And it was joy in Manon's heart. Joy, she realized, as she beheld those smiling faces and smiled back. She said to Asterin, all of them standing among their wyverns on a dune overlooking the sea,
how?
Asterin brushed a hand over Elide's hair as the girl wept into her shoulder.
Your grandmother's bitches gave us one hell of a chase, but we managed to gut them. We've spent the past month looking for you, but Abraxos found us and seemed to know where you were, so we followed him.
She scratched at some dried blood on her cheek.
And saved your ass, apparently.
Not soon enough, Manon thought, seeing Elide's silent tears, the way the humans and Fae were either standing or arguing or just doing nothing. not soon enough to stop this, to save Aelin Galathinius.
What do we do now?
Sorrel asked, from where she leaned against her bull's flank, wrapping up a slice in her forearm. The 13 all looked to Manon. All waited. She dared to ask,
Did you hear what my grandmother said before everything?
The shadows told us,
Asterin said, eyes dancing.
And? And what?
Sorrel grunted.
So you're half Kraken.
Kraken queen.
And heir to Rhiannon Kraken's likeness. Had the ancients noted it? Asterin shrugged.
5 centuries of pure-blooded iron teeth couldn't bring us home. Maybe you can.
A child not of war, but of peace.
And will you follow me?
Manon asked them quietly.
To do what needs to be done, before we can return to the wastes.
Aelin Galathinius had not beseeched Elena for another fate. She had only asked for one thing, one request of the ancient queen. Will you come with me? For the same reason Manon had now asked them. As one, the 13 lifted their fingers to their brows. As one, they lowered them. Manon looked toward the sea, her throat tight.
Aelin Galathinius willingly handed over her freedom, so an Iron Teeth witch could walk free,
Manon said. Elide straightened, pulling from Asterin's arms. But Manon continued.
We owe her a life debt. And more than that, it is time that we became better than our foremothers. We are all children of this land.
What are you going to do?
Asterin breathed, her eyes so bright. Manon looked behind them, to the north.
I am going to find the Krakens, and I am going to raise an army with them, for Aelin Galathinius, and her people, and for ours.
They'll never trust us,
Sorrel said. Asterin drawled.
Then we'll have to just be our charming selves.
Some of them smirked. Some of them shifted on their feet. Manon said again to her 13.
Will you follow me?
And when they all touched their fingers to their brows again, Manon returned the gesture. Rowan and Adian were sitting silently on the beach. Gavriel had recovered enough from the shock of the oath severing that he and Lorcan were now standing atop the bluff, talking quietly. Lysandra was sitting alone, in ghost leopard form, amongst the waving seagrasses, and Dorian was just watching them from the apex of a dune. What Aelin had done. What she'd lied about. Some of the blood on the ground had dried. If Aelin was gone, if her life would indeed be the cost if she ever got free.
Maeve doesn't have the 2 keys, Manon said from Dorian's side,
having crept up silently. Her coven lingered behind her, Elide ensconced within their ranks.
In case you were concerned.
Lorcan and Gavriel turned toward them, then Lysandra. Dorian dared to ask,
Then where are they?
I have them, Manon said simply. Aelin slid them into my pocket.
Oh, Aelin.
Aelin.
She'd worked Maeve into such a frenzy, made the queen so focused on capturing her that she hadn't thought to confirm if Aelin held the keys before she vanished. she'd been dealt such a wicked, impossible hand. And yet Aelin had made it count. One last time she'd made it count.
It's why I couldn't do anything about it,
Manon said.
To help her. I had to look uninvolved. Neutral.
From where he sat on the beach below, Adian had twisted toward them, his keen fey hearing feeding him every word. Manon said to all of them,
I am sorry. I'm sorry I couldn't help.
She reached into the pocket of her riding leathers and extended the amulet of Orinth and a sliver of black stone to Dorian. He balked.
Elena said Mala's bloodline can stop this. It runs in both your houses.
The golden eyes were weary. Heavy. He realized what Manon was asking. Aelin had never planned to see Terrison again. She had married Rowan knowing she would have months at best, days at the worst with him. But she would give Terrison a legal king, to hold her territory together. She had made plans for all of them, and none for herself.
The quest does not end here,
Dorian said softly. Manon shook her head, and he knew she meant more than the keys, than the war, as she said.
No, it does not.
He took the keys from her. They throbbed and flickered, warming his palm. A foreign, horrible presence, and yet all that stood between them and destruction. No, the quest did not end here. Not even close. Dorian slid the keys into his pocket, and the road that now sprawled away before him, curving into unknown, awaiting shadow. It did not frighten him. Chapter 75 Rowan had married Aelin before dawn barely 2 days ago. Adian and Lysandra had been the only witnesses, as they'd awoken the bleary-eyed captain, who married them quickly and quietly and signed a vow of secrecy. They'd had 15 minutes in their cabin to consummate that marriage. Adian still carried the formal documents, the captain bearing the duplicates. Rowan had been kneeling on that spit of beach for half an hour now. Silent, wandering the paths of his churning thoughts. Adian had kept him company, staring blankly at the sea. Rowan had known. Part of him had known that Aelin was his mate, and had turned away from that knowledge, again and again, out of respect for Lyria, out of terror for what it'd mean. He'd leapt in front of her at Skull's Bay, knowing it deep down. Knowing mates aware of the bond could not bear to harm each other, and that it might be the only force to compel her to regain control from Deanna. And even when she had proved him right, he had turned from that proof, still unready, pushing it from his mind even as he claimed her in every other way. Aelin had known, though, that he was her mate, and she had not pushed it or demanded he face it because she loved him, and he knew she'd rather carve out her own heart than cause him pain or distress. His fire heart, his equal, his friend, his lover, his wife, his mate. That God's damned bitch had put her in an iron box. She'd whipped his mate so brutally that he'd rarely seen such blood spilled as a result, then chained her, then put Aelin in a veritable iron coffin, still bleeding, still hurting. To contain her, to break her, to torture her. his fire heart locked in the dark. She tried to tell him, right before the Ilken converged. Tried to tell him she'd vomited her guts up on the ship that day, not because she was pregnant, but because she'd realized she was going to die. That the cost of sealing the gate, forging a new lock to do so, was her life. Her immortal life. Goldrin lying beside him, its ruby dull in the bright sun. Rowan gathered up two fistfuls of sand and let the grains slide out. Let the wind carry them toward the sea. It was all borrowed time anyway. Aelin did not expect them to come for her. She, who had come for them, who had found them all. She had arranged for everything to fall into place when she yielded her life, when she gave up 1,000 years to save them. And Rowan knew she believed they'd make the right choice, the wise choice, and remain here. Lead their armies to victory, the armies she'd secured for them, guessing that she wouldn't be there to see it through. She did not think she'd ever see him again. He did not accept that. He would not accept that. And he would not accept the fact that he had found her, and she had found him, and they had survived such sorrow and pain and despair together, only to be cleaved apart. He would not accept the fate that had been dealt to her. Would not accept that her life was the asking price for saving this world. Her life or Dorian's. He would not accept it for one heartbeat. Footsteps thudded on the sand, and he scented Lorkin before he bothered to look. For half a breath, he debated killing the male where he stood. Rowan knew that today he'd win. Something had fractured in Lorkin, and if Rowan attacked now, the other male would die. Lorkin might not even put up much of a fight. Lorkin's granite-hewn face was hard, but his eyes. That was agony in them, and regret. The others flowed down the dunes, the witch's coven remaining behind, and Adian rose to his feet. They all stared at Rowan as he remained kneeling. The sea rolled away, undulating under the clearing blue sky. He speared that bond into the world, casting it wide as a net, flinging it out with his magic, his soul, his cracked heart, searching for her. "Fight it," he willed her, sending the words down the bond, the mating bond, which perhaps had settled into place that first moment they'd become Caranam, hidden beneath flame and ice and hope for a better future.
"Fight her. I am coming for you, even if it takes me 1,000 years. I will find you. I will find you. I will find you."
Only salt and wind and water answered him. Rowan rose to his feet and slowly turned to face them. But their attention snagged on the ships now sailing out of the west, from the battle site. His cousin's ships, with what remained of the fleet Ansel of Briarcliff had won for them, and Rolf's 3 ships. But it was not those boats that made him pause. It was the one that rounded the eastern tip of the land, a longboat. It swept closer on a phantom wind, too fast to be natural. Rowan braced himself. The boat's shape didn't belong to any of the fleets assembled, but its style nagged at his memory. From their own fleet, Ansel of Briarcliff and Enda were soaring over the waves in a longboat, aiming for this beach. But Rowan and the others watched in silence as the foreign boat crested through the surf and slid onto the sand. Watched the olive-skinned sailors haul it up the beach. a broad-shouldered young man nimbly leap out, his slightly curling dark hair tossed in the sea breeze. He did not emit a whiff of fear as he stalked for them, didn't even go for the comforting touch of the fine sword at his side.
"Where is Aelin Galathinius?"
the stranger asked a bit breathlessly, as he scanned them. And his accent.
"Who are you?"
Rowan ground out. But the young man was now close enough that Rowan could see the color of his eyes. Turquoise, with a core of gold. Adian breathed as if in a trance.
"Galen."
Galen Ashriver, Crown Prince of Wendlin. The young man's eyes widened as he took in the warrior prince.
"Adian,"
he said hoarsely, something like awe and grief in his face. But he blinked it away, self-assured and steady, and again asked,
"Where is she?"
None of them answered. Adian demanded,
"What are you doing here?"
Galen's dark brows flicked toward each other.
"I thought she would have informed you." "Informed us of what?"
Rowan said too quietly. Galen reached into the pocket of his worn blue tunic, pulling out a crinkled letter that looked like it had been read 100 times. He silently handed it to Rowan. Her scent still clung to it as he unfolded the paper, Adian reading over his shoulder. Aelin's letter to the Prince of Wendlin had been short, brutal. The large letters were sprawled across the page as if her temper had gotten the better of her. "Terrasen remembers Evelyn Ashriver. Do you? I fought at Mistward for your people. Return the god's damned favor." And then coordinates for this spot.
"It only went to me,"
Galen said softly.
"Not to my father. Only to me."
To the armada that Galen controlled, as a blockade runner against Otterlin.
"Rowan?"
Lysandra murmured in warning. He followed her stare. Not to where Ansel and Enda now arrived at the edge of their group, giving the 13 a wide berth as they lifted their brows at Galen, but to the small company of white-clad people that appeared on the cresting dunes behind them, splattered in mud, and looking like they had trekked across the marshes themselves. And Rowan knew. He knew who they were before they even reached the beach. Ansel of Briarcliff had gone pale at the sight of their layered, flowing clothes. And as the tall male in their center peeled off his hood, to reveal a brown-skinned, green-eyed face still handsome with youth. The Queen of the Wastes whispered,
"Ilias."
Ilias, son of the Mute Master and of the Silent Assassins, gaped at Ansel, his back stiffening. But Rowan stepped toward the man, drawing his attention. Ilias's eyes narrowed in assessment, and he, like Galen, scanned them all, searching for a golden-haired woman who was not there. His eyes returned to Rowan as if he'd marked him as the axis of this group. In a voice hoarse from disuse, Ilias asked him,
"We have come to fulfill our life debt to Selena Sardathian, to Aelin Galathinius. Where is she?" "You are the Sessi's Sucast,"
Dorian said, shaking his head.
"The Silent Assassins of the Red Desert."
Ilias nodded, and glanced at Ansel, who still seemed near vomiting, before saying to Rowan,
"It seems my friend has called in many debts, in addition to ours."
As if the words themselves were a signal, more white-clad figures filled the dunes behind them.
dozens.